This is John Walden, Colorado Springs. We're studying the gospel as it is brought out in the various epistles of the New Testament. And now we're going to consider Galatians together. Deliver is the keynote of Galatians, someone has pointed out. He's showing us how we are liberated from the world as well as from the law. How wonderful it is to be delivered or saved. That's a scriptural word. Now, the Galatians received the gospel on Paul's first missionary journey. You read about that in Acts 13 and 14. And then in the 16th chapter, you find that he found young Timothy there and took him with him when he was on his second trip. A very clear gospel was preached there, and this is recorded, very happily for us, in the 13th chapter of the Acts. It tells about Paul preaching to these people, and these very wonderful verses are included in that sermon. Verses 38 and 39. Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, the Lord Jesus, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified, cleared from all things from which he could not be justified by the law of Moses. The law of Moses told us about at least 15 or 16 different things that could never be forgiven. But the gospel is the wonderful story of the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus for our sakes, in order that God might not only be able to forgive us, but to justify us. If I were only forgiven, of course, I could lose my salvation any day. But since I have been justified, that is, given a right standing in Christ, God has clothed me with his own righteousness, made me acceptable in his presence, not in my worth, but in his. Therefore, I have liberty and peace. Now this epistle begins by insisting on a clear gospel. He tells us, first of all, in verse 1, Paul, an apostle, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead. So what he has to tell them did not come from man, neither did it come through man, but the Lord gave it to him directly. And he says to him in verse 6, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. That is, it was another kind of a gospel, not another of the same kind. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert or twist the gospel of Christ. Now notice this, but though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. There are many other gospels. There are many spurious gospels being taught in our day. They rob Christ of his glory. They lead the sinner into hopeless confusion. They give him impossible tasks of trying to clean himself up and trying to make himself better. And they bewitch the believers. That's what he said in chapter 3 of this book. O foolish Galatians, who have bewitched you or hypnotized you that ye should not obey the truth, from before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. The Lord Jesus was held up to their gaze. He was preached among them, and yet they were hypnotized by this false gospel. Now this false gospel, according to chapter 2 and verse 4, and again in chapter 5 and verse 1, caused them to lose their liberty, robbed them of their liberty. He said, some have come in privately to spy out our liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage or slavery. That's the bondage of the law. So for chapter 5 and verse 1 says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The legal position of these people who had come to Galatia and were misleading these Christians was simply impossible. And this is demonstrated here. He tells us in chapter 3 that the gospel could never save them, verse 11, "but that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith, and the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them." The law is not of faith, it is of works, it is of doing. And we're told plainly that it cannot be works and grace mixed. It must be one or the other, according to the book of Romans. If it is of grace, then it's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of grace, then it is no more work. If it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. You cannot have a mixture of these two. We're either saved by pure grace, or else we're saved by keeping the law. Now, it's an impossibility to keep the law, according to this verse we just read. Also, we're told in this same chapter that the Holy Spirit was not given under the law. He says in verse 2, "Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh?" That is, they had received the Lord Jesus Christ. They had believed the gospel. They had trusted the Savior. And now they thought that they had to keep the law in order to keep saved. And he shows them, this is by the work of grace, by the work of the Holy Spirit, and not by the law. According to verse 10, the law brought a curse, not eternal life. According to verses 16 and 17 of the third chapter, the promises that God gave in the Old Testament all were given before the law. And then he concludes it in verse 24 by saying that the law was actually given only as a schoolmaster unto Christ. Now that Christ has come, he says, you're no longer under the schoolmaster. The law would put our nose down to the book and show us that we are sinners. It would force us to read the law and see that we are lost. And having done so, it hands us over to Christ. And we trust him for salvation. We are redeemed by his precious blood, not by our doings. According to the fourth chapter in verse 3, the law could only bring us into bondage. Now, in the book of Galatians, he not only tells us plainly that we are saved by grace because of what Christ has done for us, but he tells us the effects. In the first chapter, in verse 4, he says, "The Lord Jesus gave himself for our sins that he might deliver us," or snatch us away, "from this present evil world." The word evil there is the word pernicious. The Lord Jesus died for us that he might snatch us out of the hands of this present pernicious world, according to the will of God and our Father. It's not the will of the Lord Jesus that any Christian should go on being a part of this wicked world. We're here, but we're here as ambassadors for him. Then, a result of the gospel is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. Now, God has not left us to ourselves. He has not expected us to be able to do what we couldn't do before we were saved, only as he empowers us with the Spirit of God which he has placed within us. And according to the fifth chapter in verses 22 to 25, the Holy Spirit of God produces fruit in our lives. Now, this is not necessarily our works. It's the character that he produces, the Christ-likeness that he produces in the life of a believer who is subject to him. In fact, he tells us in the fourth chapter in verse 19, "My little children, of whom I travail again in pain, I travail in birth again until Christ be formed in you." So the work of the Spirit of God is to recreate the Lord Jesus in the hearts and lives of believers. Then according to Galatians 2 and 20, We are crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So the new life that he has put within us is his own life. Now this results in right motives. And according to the last chapter of Galatians, he tells us, from henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks or the brands of the Lord Jesus. Brethren, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. In other words, when we trust in the Lord Jesus, he puts his life within us, and we have right motives then, a new power to live for him. Now he says, let's don't be entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Don't go back under the law. Don't say, no, I'm going to try to do this so that I can stay saved. That's not trusting him. What would you think of a wife who says, well, I just must do everything that my husband wants me to do because I'm afraid that he'll divorce me if I don't? That isn't a normal situation. That isn't a happy home. And we have been united to Christ. He loves us. He wanted us for his own, and he gave his life for us to make us his own. And so, through the gospel, we are led to put our trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel, the book of Galatians then was given to teach us that not only does the gospel bring us to Christ, but it is all we need for a power in our lives, and we do not need to go back under the law. We could not be saved by keeping the law. Neither can we keep saved by keeping the law. We are under a much higher standard now than law. Grace says that we ought to be like Christ, and this is much higher than anything demanded by the law. Our Father, we thank thee for our Savior, and we thank thee for perfect deliverance through the gospel. We pray for all who have listened, that they may receive Christ if they have not yet done so, that they may want to live to please him when they do trust him. In his name.